The year 1858.
The place?
London. Characters?
Me, that is Primus. The mater?
Cordelia. Also?
Gerald Spavin, of Spavin and Spavin, the publishers.
And Gerald's mother, Edith, who is very prone to heart attacks.
The mater, my mater, is worshipped and adored by Gerald Spavin, of Spavin and Spavin, and in consequence of his infatuation with her, I'm of Spavin and Spavin, the publishers, too. And I tell you, my commercial flair and dynamism is causing quite a stir.
Absolutely, darling.
So now, read on.
Bookcases by Martin Wade, with Michael Cochrane as Primus, Elizabeth Spriggs as Edith, Maggie Steed as Cordelia, David Horovitch as Gerald, and David Timpson as Wilkie Collins. Episode 3, The Man in White.
You? Why are you sitting at the receptionist desk?
Oh, good morning, madam. Which desk would you like me at?
I don't want you at any desk. Who are you?
The name is Simeon Wilmot Huff, madam.
You are trespassing. Please leave immediately, or I'll be obliged to call the police.
Oh, but madam, I am an employee of the company.
You are not.
I assure you I am, as from this morning. The title of my position...
Gerald?
Yes, mother?
...is Junior Fiction Editor and Deputy Marketing Manager.
Come here!
Yes, mother.
It's the most perfect job for me. It really is.
Gerald?
Yes, mother?
Have you asked this person to join the firm?
No, mother.
There you are, young man.
It wasn't me who asked him. It was Primus.
Primus?
In person. Morning, Mrs. Spavin. Morning, Mr. Spavin. Gerald. Morning, Simeon. Anything wrong?
Love. Love is... I once had some gorgeous lines about love in a play I was in with dear old Spencer Stradling. Love is... Love is... Anyway, I knew it was love. Knew it from the moment Gerald looked at me. I could see it in those sad, tired eyes of his. He sends me flowers, frequently. The house looks like Kew Gardens. And he writes long, long letters, which I don't always get to the end of. And he's been so, so helpful to dearest Primus. Oh, look! Mr. Wilkie Collins, coming out of the apothecaries. Stop, please, driver! Cool here! Wilkie!
Dear lady!
Wilkie's a writer and a person of restricted growth. Aside from his beard, which has sprouted prodigiously, and he is a dear, dear friend of mine. We met last week at a party. Do jump aboard!
Thank you!
What have you bought?
Batley's drops.
Cough sweet?
No, laudanum. For my gout.
Oh, you poor thing.
I've got it in the eyes. Look.
Good grief! They're like red-hot coals. Mm. Now, darling, your place or mine?
Simeon's principal tasks will be to read unsolicited works of fiction.
Gerald?
Yes, Mother?
Assist in developing treatments.
I want these two people out of the building.
Identify trends and genres. Conduct extensive market research. Assess and anticipate costs and revenues. And set up a vigorous, energetic sales and publicity team.
It's the perfect job for me.
Gerald?
Yes, Mother?
I think I've got my heart problem again.
Also?
Ah, yes. Also, Simeon will be assistant editor of our new fortnightly periodical, Primus's Potpourri.
Primus's Potpourri!
Which is to be a magical miscellany of stories, reviews, features, gossip.
Young man, we already put out a periodical from these offices. It is called Spavin's Weekly Purificator, incorporating the Last Trump and the Teetotal Times. And it has a steady circulation of 50,000. May I also remind you that this firm publishes religion, and nothing but religion, and has been doing so since 1749. Spavin and Spavin has never published fiction. It has never published magical miscellanies, and I pray to God it never will.
Well, sorry. Strange, very strange. You see, Mr. Spavin and I did agree all this earlier.
Gerald?
Yes, Mother?
Did you make such an agreement?
Not such an agreement as such.
Oh, Mr. Spavin, sir. Shame, shame.
There was a discussion on the matter.
At the conclusion of which you said, interesting ideas, go ahead, young man, and good luck to you. Show us what you're made of.
No, I said it might be possible, after consultation with my mother, to make one or two small changes to the firm's publishing policy by way of testing the water.
Exactement, my point entirely. Now, I've told Simeon that we'd be prepared to offer him £5 a week.
Rising to 6 in April.
4 weeks holiday, yeah?
Gerald.
Yes, Mother?
Travelling expenses and luncheon vouchers.
Take me to the sofa.
Darling, would you like tea, sherry, gin or beer?
I am familiar with and fond of all of the above, but my bottle of Batley's offers the possibility of new thrills, new dangers. So I'll opt for the drops.
Gorgeous. I think I'll join you.
It says 3 drops of the drops 3 times a day.
Yes, but what precisely is a drop?
Can't help you, I'm afraid. Say when.
Darling, I've been meaning to ask you, is it true you're living in sin?
Oh, not exactly. I'm in Albany Street.
Oh.
By the park, you know. Mm-hmm. She and I have entered into a genuine, meaningful relationship, which is founded on love and affection rather than the artificial constraints of matrimony.
But which allows for other meaningful relationships to be pursued at the same time. Gorgeous, darling. Oh, when? How was it for you, darling? Are your eyes any better?
My eyes? Oh, no. But some of my other parts are quite transformed. Darling.
Hello.
Such sensations.
Such visions.
Phantasms of the mind.
Pulsations of the flesh.
Hello, I'm Primus.
I know, darling.
I'm Wilkie Collins. Or am I?
Wilkie writes stories, darling.
Top rack. I'll publish them.
Well, this is where you are.
Correct. Nice room, nice view.
It's my mother's room.
Correct. How is the mother?
Not very well.
Hard lines.
But she's determined to be up and about again soon.
Oh, damned hard lines. Much as I love the boy, Simeon, sharing a broom cupboard with him isn't much fun. So, you'd like to ask me about Primus's potpourri?
What? No, that.
It's going to be good, Gerald. It's going to break circulation records. It's going to beat Blackwood's and Household Words into a cocked hat. Simeon? The main item, let me tell you, is a sensational serial by the celebrated best-selling author Wilkie Collins, whose titles include... whose titles are too well known to require mention. He's a close personal friend of mine.
Indeed.
You rang a cracked bell?
Simeon, tell Gerald what's in the first ish of the potpourri, aside from the sensational serial.
Well?
There's my piece, of course, entitled What? Not Another Periodical.
And there's a poem I wrote when I was at school about a storm and a shipwreck and a mountain and a ruined temple. The welkin heaved with thunder and the ship's boards shivered. I can't go on.
He tends to faint when confronted by things of beauty. Now, Gerald, let's talk advertising budget.
Have you read Primus's potpourri yet, darling?
No.
Circulation figures aren't available yet, apparently, but I must have purchased 20 copies at least, so sales can't be that bad.
Cordelia, darling.
Oh, more flowers. Thank you, darling. I'm so proud of Primus. Are you proud of Primus, darling?
Yes, rather. Cordelia, I came here tonight.
You did, and it's so very, very sweet of you. Yeah. Oh, you must read Mr. Collins's piece, the serial. Magnificent, isn't the word?
Darling, I want to ask you...
It's about a fellow called Hartwright, who's a teacher of drawing, and he's... Actually, not a great deal happens in the first few pages.
Cordelia.
But then Mr. Hartwright takes a midnight walk. And just south of Hampstead Heath, after he's turned onto the London Road...
Cordelia.
Suddenly...
Will you marry me?
Suddenly, a dog with red eyes, suffering from gout, perhaps, comes pounding out of the shadows and grips Hartwright's arm in its slavering jaws. End of episode one. To be continued. Yes, of course I'll marry you, darling.
Nice room. Nice view.
Yes, top rank. Episode two?
Not yet.
How much have you written?
Not a lot.
How much precisely?
Precisely. Not a word.
Don't like to hurry you, Wilkie, but the deadline's Tuesday. Can't keep the whole nation waiting. There'll be civil disturbances. So, take a seat at my nice desk. A paper, a pen, and ink. You'll have it done in no time.
Primus.
Yes, Wilkie?
I must tell you, I've made a serious error. My only excuse is you have a very persuasive tongue, and your mother's so charming. And also there was Batley's drops.
Please sit down.
You see, I never do it this way. Never. I always ensure when writing a work of fiction that each step on the journey through the narrative is known to me before I ever start. No afterthoughts, no changes of mind, everything mapped out. Oh, I should never have agreed to the idea. Heavens, I've got three pieces to write for Charlie D before the end of the month.
Mr. Collins, are you by any chance making a request for more money?
No. No, 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 damn it, I'm not. That's a most improper suggestion, sir. We came to an agreement.
Oh, we did.
And if I could, I'd honour it.
Oh, you can, believe me. Have a seat.
Oh.
Now, pick up the pen and dip it in the ink. Mm. Now, where were we?
Just south of Hampstead Heath.
Ah, yes. Ferocious dog on the loose. What excitement. Pray continue.
How much more money?
£1,000.
My reason for asking is simply to discover if the prospect of extra cash might act as a stimulus to my creativity. But no, nothing doing.
Did you try Batley's drops on him, darling?
And mesmerism, and the threat of a dog with slavering jaws? No go. He's thrown in the towel, torn up the contract, and returned his initial fee.
Isn't that vexing? Mm. And the story promised so much.
It did. But I won't abandon him, Mother. I've had an ingenious notion.
Of course you have, darling.
In each ish of the potpourri, the tale which we Wilkie began will progress with a different author.
Oh, clever boy.
Britain's literary giants. They'll all in turn be working for me.
Wonderful. Who'll write the next episode?
Ah, well, Wilkie, to give me a few names. Tony Trollope, George Eliot.
Darling, I forgot to tell you, Gerald and I are going to be married.
Top rank, hearty congrats. Charlotte Bronte, who is a close personal friend of mine, of course. Church wedding?
Oh, yes. We have to do it properly. Will you want to give me away, do you think, or be best man?
Hello, who are you?
George Eliot.
You're not?
Yeah, straight up. Bit late, sorry.
Late? My dear George, I only telegraphed an hour ago. Come in, come in.
This is the old woman's office.
Yes, that's right. But I'm the driving force now. So, tell me, what do you think of Primus's potpourri?
You what?
You've read Wilkie's effort, I take it? You can do better, George. I know you can. Heard great things about you. Oh, do sit down. Coffee? Tea? Hot chocolate?
Look, I've...
A beer?
Oh, well. Tar, thanks.
You know, it bucks me up no end seeing a regular geezer such as your good self making his mark in this business. Your beer.
Tar.
You're at the spearhead, I suppose, of a new, radical, urbanized generation, which is kicking in the oak panel doors of stuffiness, privilege and tradition.
What? Oh, yeah, thanks. Cheers.
Have a seat, please. Paper, pen, ink. Our hero is just south of Hampstead Heath, if you recall.
Titerus, by Simeon W. Half. The ancient columns in profusion lay, marble memorials of a better day, and sheep and goats. Primus.
Simeon?
There's a noisy person in your office.
Yes, it's George Eliot. He's got 20 pages to finish by Tuesday, and he don't fancy the pressure.
Oh. The same George Eliot, you mean, who lives with George Henry Lewis and writes for Blackwoods?
The very same, if you say so. Oh, it's all right to go in. I've chained him to the desk.
Oh. Hello?
Help!
Primus, there's something terribly wrong here.
Advise me.
George Eliot is a woman.
A woman? A woman! Ah, that explains everything. I'll go in and have a quiet word.
Oh. George!
George! How are you? Nice room. Nice view.
It's not fair. It's not bloody fair.
I know, George. Life's dealt you a funny old hand, Nespa. Tell me, George, what happened? Was your tough, gruff pater desperate for a boy? Did the mater compel you to catch newts and climb trees just to make the pater happy?
You what?
Georgie, it's time to grasp the nettle, bite the bullet, face the music. It's time to say, good morning, reality. Hello, me. Do you know what I mean?
No, I bloody don't.
Georgie, listen. Underneath it all, underneath the shirt and trews, you're a woman.
I'm a what?
It's true. Stride up. I have it on the most undoubted authority. Abandon this useless struggle, George. Confront your sexuality. Embrace it. Yield to it. Glory in your gynecology. Will you do all this for me, lovey?
Help!
Because if you do, Georgie dear, I promise you, all of a sudden, you'll be such a healthier, happier person. You'll discover your true voice. You'll unleash the creativity that's locked inside you. You'll be able to respond to the admittedly rather tight deadline that's been imposed on you for the next ish of Primus's potpourri.
Help!
Oh, you'll get plenty of that. Stay right where you are, my dear. I'm going to find you a frock.
Mother, I've some news to give you.
Well?
It's news which may surprise you and be a cause of much delight, I hope.
I hope so too. It is a long while since I was delighted. It is a long while since I was well. I ought not to be out, really.
You ought not.
I ought to be in bed. But the work won't get done by itself. Of course, we know why I've been ill and why you seem to have lost your grip on things.
Do we?
It's all that woman's fault. The actress. Mother of the cretin. The plain truth is, Gerald, she's used you most shamefully.
Used me? Oh, I don't think so.
Of course she has. Her boy should be in an asylum, not a publishing house. What is this news of yours?
Tomorrow, I think, Mother.
There is an obnoxious smell in here.
Yes.
Help!
Who is that?
Help!
Someone is bleating in my room. Gerald, I hope I am not about to have another unpleasant experience.
Good heavens!
Who is it?
It's the apprentice from the printers.
That's right, that's right. I've come for them page proofs. Help!
Why is he wearing a dress?
Allow me to explain. Morning, Mrs. Spavin. Morning, Mr. Spavin. Gerald. Morning, George.
Help!
Oh, phew.
Gerald?
Yes, Mother. Have a seat.
Madness! Abomination!
Primus, get the smelly transvestite out of there.
Of course, I've heard all about you, my dear. You're a very, very talented lady.
She's a very, very willful lady, and she's caused a lot of trouble.
Yes, darling. But once she's sorted herself out, she'll go on to great things, I'm sure. Write some of the best novels in the English language, etc. How long will you be staying with us, my dear?
Till Tuesday, Mother, if necessary.
Gorgeous, darling. I must say, George, that's a very nice dress you're wearing.
It's one of yours, Mother.
Is it really? Well, it looks much, much better on you, my dear. White suits you. Now, where will George be sleeping, I wonder?
She won't be. Far too busy for that. She'll be tied up in the box room. Mother?
Yes, Gerald?
Do you remember... wait a moment.
What is that?
Batley's drops.
Batley's drops?
Cordelia swears by them. Do you remember, Mother, that yesterday I said that I had some news to give you and that I didn't actually give you the news as such, but told you that I would do it tomorrow?
Yes, Gerald.
Well, it is tomorrow, so I must give you the news. It's, with regard to my unmarried status.
Yes, Gerald?
And an anticipated change thereto.
Oh, Gerald.
Oh, dear.
You're marrying that woman. You're marrying that woman. And you're going to have a maniac as a stepson.
Yes, something like that.
Oh, lamentation. Oh, woe. Oh,
would you like to try the drops now, Mother?
Lamentation, woe on me.
Darling.
Darling, good evening.
Mr. Collins, sir. Mr. Collins, sir.
Oh, Primus also. How pleasant.
You've changed your mind? You've brought episode 2?
No.
Oh.
But I brought a couple of bottles of Batley's.
Gorgeous, darling.
For purposes purely medicinal.
Of course, darling. I'll fetch the glasses.
Help! Let me out!
Oh, you have a guest.
It's George Eliot.
Is it now?
She's attempting to continue your work of friction.
Good luck to her. She's obviously got to an exciting bit. Do you like my beard?
Darling, you had it on last week.
I know. But he's grown another inch. Right then. Who wants to be cured of everything?
Oh, mercy. Let me out. Oh, help.
Georgie, you're making a dreadful din, you know. We can't hear ourselves getting completely smashed.
Help.
Show me what you've written. Slide it under the door.
I've not written nothing.
Oh, Georgie, is this fair now? I do everything for you. Give you counselling, unravel your sexuality, and in return, rien de rien. Not a bloody word.
Let me out.
No, never. You've made me angry now.
Oh, I'm going to die here, in my youth, in a box room, in a dress.
Correct. No, and while you're doing it, keep the noise down.
So, I suppose it's time to say buona notte.
Well, if it is, darling, you say it very beautifully.
Oh, Cordelia, such stirrings. Is it me, or is it the Batleys?
Darling.
Darling, darling. Oh, luscious lips.
Big beard.
Bountiful bosom.
Hot hands.
Gorgeous, darling.
Oh, by the way, darling, did I tell you? I'm getting married.
Mamma mia. You don't love whoever it is, I take it?
No, darling, of course not.
Then you'll be very happy, I'm sure.
If I wasn't getting married... Do you suppose you might have asked me to enter into a genuine, meaningful relationship which is founded on love and affection rather than the artificial constraints of matrimony?
Oh, yes. Most certainly. In fact, I think I'll ask you anyway. The moon was full and broad in the dark blue starless sky. And the broken ground of Hampstead Heath looked wild enough in the mysterious light to be hundreds of miles away from the great city that lay beneath it. Oh, she's a darling, that Cordelia.
Shame about the boy.
Soon I arrived at that particular point of my walk where four roads meet, and I had mechanically turned in the direction of London when in one moment...
Hello?
Oh.
Excuse me.
I turned.
Is this the way to town?
There, in the middle of the road, there, as if it had that moment sprung out of the earth or dropped from the heavens, stood the figure of a solitary woman, dressed from head to foot, in white.
I said, is this the way to town?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I've just escaped from a madhouse.
Have you, in truth?
And my name's George Eliot.
George Eliot? Ah, well, let me tell you, dear child, you are a great deal prettier than the one I know. While you were in the madhouse, Miss Elliot, were you by any chance encouraged to write the second instalment of a yarn which commenced, somewhat inauspiciously, in a periodical entitled Primus's Potpourri?
Yeah, I was, but I couldn't.
Me, likewise.
So eventually I managed to pick the door lock with the nib of the pen what I'd been given.
That was putting the pen to clever use, my dear.
And I scarpered.
You brave thing. Now look, we'll find a cab and we'll get you back home in no time. My home, if you like.
Oh, that's very civil.
Believe me, my dear, it will give me great pleasure. She's a sweetie. She really is. And because of our chance encounter, I do believe I could write that second installment after all. And more besides. A woman in white. Escaped from a madhouse. Meets our gallant hero by the heath. Yes, that's the stuff. But I won't waste it on Primus and his potpourri. No. This is big time. This is sensational. Cab! Cab!
That was episode 3 of Bookcases by Martin Wade. Primus was played by Michael Cochrane, Edith by Elizabeth Spriggs, Cordelia by Maggie Steed, Gerald by David Horovitch, Wilkie Collins by David Timpson, Simeon by Charles Simpson, and George Eliot by David Antrobus. Bookcases was directed by Cherry Cookson.